Lord, make us a family of faith. May the home that we build bring a smile to your face. Help us build on your word. Its foundation is sure. Spending time with you, Lord, make us holy and pure. In all that we do, in all that we say, please make us, Lord, a family of faith. We'll serve him with heart and with soul. Let us give him our all as we make him the goal. We will faithfully stand, though we may stand alone, with our lives in his hands, making our heart his throne. May all that we do and all that we say bring honor to the author of faith.
Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness. I want you to take the Word of God, please. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Everybody hears me okay now, right? Amen. Are you awake out there tonight, folks? Honestly, I can't get a holy grunt out of you. What in the world? Good Wednesday night crowd. God bless you. Thank you for coming this way. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. We've been studying, obviously, on building the family of faith and building families of faith. And right now, we're right in the middle of the different relationships that are involved in the family. We've already established the marriage. We've talked about the marriage, the husband-wife relationship. We are right in the middle right now of the parent-child relationship. But tonight and next Wednesday night, God willing, I'm going to talk about another relationship. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll be going back to the parent-child relationship. But tonight and next Wednesday, I want to talk about your family and the local church relationship. So this is the plan for the next two Wednesday nights. So I trust that you'll understand this as we go through. We're going to be turning to a lot of scripture tonight. I normally do not do that, but I think it's very important that you see what you'll hear tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now I want you to notice the word church there. Now in the Word of God, the word church can refer to one of two things. It either refers to the body of Christ, or it refers to the local church, which is a local assembly of baptized believers. Let me explain the difference. The body of Christ is made up of every born-again child of God in the New Testament church age. For instance, just because you're here tonight doesn't mean you're part of the body of Christ. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you help make up the body of Christ. At the same time, those who are over in India or down in Brazil or in Africa, those who've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, they also help make up the church, which is the true church, which is the body of Jesus Christ. Are you with me so far? Now that being the case, this place here, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, it is made up of part of the true church if you're saved. But this is also a local church. A local church is a place that is set aside where God's children gather to help carry out the Great Commission. Now tonight what we're going to be looking at is not the body of Christ. We're going to be looking at the local church, and we're going to be studying together for the next two Wednesday nights, God willing, the relationship of your family with the local church. We've looked at the husband-wife relationship. We're in the middle of parent-child relationship. Now we're shifting our focus for two Wednesday nights and looking at your family and the local church relationship. Now that being the case, I want to give you three things. I'm only going to get to one of them tonight because there's so much information I want to give you under these things that really it's ridiculous, to be honest with you. But number one, the first thing that ought to summarize you as a family of faith as your relationship with the local church. Now, if you're a member of this church, then you need to apply this to here. If you're visiting this church and feel like God wants you to join this church, whatever the case may be, apply this to where you're at. But I'm saying apply this to whatever local church you are in that teaches and preaches the truth of the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about a church who's preaching heresy and false doctrine. That's not a local church at all. That's a cult. What I'm talking about is a local church that's going to teach you the truths of God's Word. This is one of them, not the only one, but this is one of them. Now, that being the case, let me say this to you. You cannot have a family of faith without the house of God, the local church now. If it does not have a prominent place in your family, you do not have a family of faith. It's that simple. If you put the local church on the back burner and everything else comes before the local church, that's not scriptural. Now let me say this to you. Your family is to come before the local church. There's no doubt about that. But God's will never contradicts. Somebody says this, well, I don't go to church because I can't spend enough time with my family if I do. Hogwash. Gag me, folks. That is not a legitimate excuse before Almighty God. If you put ball games before the house of God, that is not of God. Let me tell you something. Nobody loves sports any more than I do. I grew up playing them. But I will say this. If a parent allows a sport to come in the place of God's house, they're teaching their children a vital lesson. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm not trying to intrude into your home because I'm not trying to tell you how you ought to raise your kids, but here's what I'm trying to say to you. If you want a family of faith, you've got to put God's house above your wants. You have to. Now, this is up to you. Do you have to do that? No. But if you want a family of faith, you have to do that. You understand the difference? So I encourage you as we travel through this that the local church was established by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ's idea, not mine. This is His idea. And since this is His organization that's made up of organisms here, I'm talking about living creatures. Since God's idea is this, then it ought to have a prominent place in our life. Amen? Now, there's three things about your family and local church that you need to understand tonight. I'm just going to give you one of them. Number one, you need to attend it. You need to attend it. Number two, you need to support it. Number three, you need to help it. Now, those are our three points. Only going to get to the first one tonight. You need to attend it. By the way, I want you to look here. I salute you because you're here. Okay? This is not me belittling anybody. This is not me jumping on your case. This is me encouraging you that you being here when you can be. I'm saying when you can be. Everybody understand. I know people have to work. They get sick. They're in the graveyard, whatever the case may be. I realize that there are times when you can't come. I know that. And God understands those things too at times. But if somebody just lays out or somebody just says, well, I'm just too tired to go tonight. Folks, those are not excuses before Almighty God. Now, I want to help you with this. You need to attend God's local church. Now, flip over to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. I told you we're going to flip to a lot of places tonight. Look at Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. The Word of God tells us here in Hebrews 10, 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful, that promise, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Notice verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Look here. This is the assembling of ourselves today. He's saying, not forsaking this, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, the church house, as I've already said, is to have priority in our family. Some people may feel it is old-fashioned to say that you should have your family in the house of God every time the door is open unless providentially hindered. Some people would have a problem with that. Some people would say that's old-fashioned. But the truth is still the same. When God's house is open, you ought to be in God's house if at all possible. Now, this being the case, I've already given some of these things. Let me give them again. It's been said that 48% of churchgoers attend an average of one service a month. A month. It's been said that the percentage of mothers who said they wanted their children to develop a loyalty to church in 1924, 50% of mothers said that. In 1978, 22% of mothers said that. And today, God only knows himself how many mothers say that. What I'm trying to say to you is this. This whole series for 6 weeks, we're right in the middle of it, is about building a family of faith. And I want to say to you, you cannot build a family of faith by putting God's house number two on your list. It's not going to work. It's got to have priority in your life. By the way, let me ask you a question. Do you expect me to be here every time the door's open? That's a crazy question, isn't it? You expect the pastor to be here? Sure you do. Now, here's my response to that. Does God expect more out of me for church attendance than he does out of you? Now, does he expect more out of me in some areas? Sure he does. To oversee the church? Sure. He's called me to do that. But as far as church attendance, I'm not coming to church because I'm pastoring. I'm coming to church because it's God's will for my life. And in the same way, you are to come to church every time the door is open unless you just cannot get here. Somebody said this, I don't know how many more Sundays God may give me, but it would be poor preparation for my first Sunday in heaven to have slighted my last one on earth. Powerful statement. Can you imagine people looking at sports the same way they look at church? Now listen to this. Can you imagine somebody coming and saying, but I've had it. Now listen to this. Looking at sports, I quit this sports business once and for all. You can't get me near one of those places again. Want to know why? Because every time I go, they ask me for money. Because you have to get in there, don't you? Amen. The people with whom I had to sit didn't seem very friendly. The seats were too hard, not at all comfortable. I went to many games, but the coach never came to call on me. The referee made a decision with which I did not agree. I suspected I was sitting with some hypocrites. They came to see their friends and what others were wearing rather than to see the game. Some games went into overtime and I was late getting home. It seems that the games are scheduled when I want to do other things. I was taken to too many games by my parents when I was growing up. I don't want to take my children to any games because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. It's a little bit funny when you think about it. But some of the excuses that people make for not coming to church, they would never make for going to a sporting event. Those pews are too hard out at that church. What about the bleachers you sit on at the basketball game? Never heard somebody stand up and say, where's the padded bleacher at this place? No. See, somebody who complains about coming to church, that's a spiritual problem. That's a heart problem. That's not the problem with pews. It's not the problem. By the way, I haven't heard these things from our people. I'm just trying to keep it light in here a little bit tonight, you know. But all I'm saying to you is this. There's something wrong with our thinking. Something wrong with it. Now, I'm getting ready to start turning to a lot of scripture with you here in just a moment. But there was a man who was a supply preacher for a small town Texas church. This happened years ago. And arriving early one Sunday, he sat down at a local donut shop. Sounds like a good preacher, doesn't it? He opened his Bible and went over his sermon notes at that time. And the man was sitting down and was just sitting right down the counter from him. And he said, are you a preacher or something? He replied, yes, I preach at the church here in town. And he got excited and said, hey, I'm a member of that church. Listen to this. The church was small and he knew all the regulars. So he said, I've been preaching there for about 3 months. He said, I've never seen you there. He looked at him kind of strange and said, I said I was a member of that church. I never said I was fanatical about it. A lot of people just like that, you know. You and your family should be fanatical about it. You really should. Many, now get this, many are brought to church when they're born and when they die. Why don't you decide to come just like you have faithfully in between those two times? Have you seen the thing, it's a sign that says something like this, don't wait for the hearse to take you to church. There's a lot of people doing that. And I'm challenging you. I'm trying to encourage you, because this is a Wednesday night crowd. Truth be known, I probably should have preached this on a Sunday morning, but I felt like the Lord was just laying it on my heart for the next two Wednesday nights. I'm trying to follow Him. But I'm trying to encourage you, keep doing what you're doing, folks. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. By the way, if you're somebody who comes to church and you can't stand it, you start saying things, you can't stand it. I don't like it, place. Folks, that's not a problem with this place. That's a place with you. That's a problem with you. And a problem with your heart. No doubt about that. Now, the obvious question of this, and because I realize what you're probably asking, how's he only going to get to this point? Well, because I want to stop here because I'm under a 10, you need to attend the church, and I want to give you several reasons why you ought to be here every time the doors open. Several reasons, biblical reasons, why you should be here every time the doors open unless you're providentially hindered. You ready? Number one, you need to be here every time the doors open unless providentially hindered because we've already looked at this. God commands it, number one. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And let me say something to you. That's enough right there. We could stop right there, and that's enough reason why we ought to be here every time the doors open. The reason is because God told you to. Let me tell you why you ought to read your Bible. Because God told you to. Let me tell you why you ought to go soul winning. Because God told you to. Tell you why you ought to pray. Because God told you to. Learn to live life according to whatever God tells you to do. And if you do that, you'll realize that life can really be joyous and have peace that passeth all understanding. God has simplified life. He really has. And what He's done, He's saying this, I have given you my rules. Here they are. Here they are. Here's my rules. Live by them, I'll bless you. You don't live by them, and I'm coming after you. And nobody wants God to come after them. No doubt about it. Now, number one, because God commands it. Number two, the reason you ought to attend church every time the doors open, unless you're providentially hindered now, is number two, you need it. Let me show you what I mean. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we're going to be turning to several portions of Scripture tonight, and I want you to look at Ephesians chapter number 4. And look at verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Word of God says this, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, verse 12, of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I could get bogged down here, but let me just simply say this. See the word perfecting in verse number 12? You know what that word means? It carries the idea of cleaning and mending the nets. In other words, back in Bible times, they would fish with nets. But every now and then they would come to shore and they would drag their nets on shore and they would have to patch up the cuts. They would have to clean the nets out. They would have to make sure that the nets were fixed in such a way that they could go right back out and fish some more. Are you with me? Now here's what it is. The local church is the place where you come to get your nets mended, to get the scratches wiped off, to get your bumps and have ice put on them. The local church is a place where you get perfected. Now, stay with me here because I'm going somewhere with this. Anybody who does not come to church, because see, we realize that he's talking about the local church because in context, verse 11, he's saying to the local church, he gave some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Those are love gifts to the local church. And he's saying the local church is the place where he's put these gifts. Now you realize some of these gifts are no longer in existence, like apostles. But what I'm saying to you is that pastors and teachers and evangelists have been put into the local church for the perfecting of the saints. Now, think with me. Think. God's saying that He has given His men to the local church to help you. But if you don't come, you're telling God, I don't need it. What else are you saying? Because he's saying, I have put this man in that place to help mend your nets. Because you get out and you get in, you get busy for God, you start doing soul winning. By the way, you need to be doing those things. You're going to get cut. You're going to get bruised. You're going to fall down every now and then. And this place is where you come and get your battery recharged. That's what the church is about. Anybody who does not come when they can is saying, no, thank you, God. I can handle it myself. Well, then you know more than God does. Because he says you need it. For instance, a man of God labors in his study with God. Pouring, I'm talking about with God pouring over his soul truths from his word. And let me tell you something. You ought to come every time you can and hear what God has laid on his man's heart, because it's for you. It's really for you. For instance, I didn't know too much about this. I'm beginning to learn a lot about it. Preacher sitting right here, he used to spend, good night, preacher. You can help me out. How many hours would you spend on a message? I mean, I realize that it would fluctuate, but just typically. Six or eight hours per message, three times a week. And let me tell you something. I'm learning this. I spend 6 or 8 minutes per message for three times. I'm just kidding with you. But I'm learning this. In our study, the Holy Spirit of God brings stuff out, and every now and then I have to get out of my office and go down and tell one of the secretaries or tell Brother Gary, I think you and I have talked on stuff like this. If not, I need to, or whatever the case may be. I just can't contain myself. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. I can't contain myself. He'll show me something in the word, in his word, and I'll be like, good night, that's good right there. And I'll come out and say, let me tell you about this. And I'm putting this message together, and lo and behold, it's interesting that folks, God is pouring over my soul. By the way, he does the same thing with your Sunday school teachers. And he pours over our souls the wonderful word of God, and he has you in mind when he does that. And yet some people, they'll come Sunday morning, never see him again. And they realize if they would come every service, they might get what they were looking for. I think it was good night. What's his name? He died in a plane crash. Preacher. I think it was Lester Roloff. You can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but he said he has three counseling times. Three: Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And said if you come and hear me those three times, you probably won't need to come to me any other time. Now that's not necessarily 100% true, because I realize that people have specific problems. But there's a lot of truth in that. A lot of truth in it. Number two, you need it for perfecting. Number three, you ought to be here every time the door's open to encourage godly people. Now we see this in the book of 3 John. I want you to flip to it with me just a moment. 3 John verses 3 and 4. 3 John verses 3 and 4. Now, question, who wrote the book of 3 John? Anybody get that one wrong? Humanly speaking, it was John, right? Now, was John a preacher? Was he a godly man? Sure he was. Look at verse number 3 of 3 John. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now here's what he's saying. He's saying, I rejoice as God's man. It brings joy to my heart to see other people doing what's right. Now I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest things you can do to encourage a pastor or your Sunday school teacher or teenagers, your youth director, whatever the case may be, by the way, we need encouragement. I need encouragement. And I'm learning. I need encouragement. There's no doubt about it. Let me tell you how you can encourage me. Now, you shouldn't be in it for me. Don't misunderstand me. But one way you can encourage God's man is by being faithful to church. Because it lets him know that he can have an impact on you. And I'm challenging you. I need your encouragement. And you do encourage me. And it encourages me to see this good number here. This is a great Wednesday night crowd. It really is. I want to see it grow. But this is a great Wednesday night crowd. And this encourages my heart to look out and see you sitting here. Because it shows me that I believe you mean business with God. Now, number four. I've got to hurry or I'm not going to get through this. Number four, another reason why you ought to attend church every time the doors open. As a family, is because it gives the right representation of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 calls us ambassadors for Christ. The word ambassador means representative. Now, a representative is somebody who represents another. And God's saying this, if you're saved today, he has given you the exalted privilege to represent Christ to the world. Now, I want you to think with me. I'm a simple preacher. Okay, I'm simple. But I want you to think with me. Would Jesus Christ be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? If he was in bodily form, would he be in church Sunday morning, yes or no? Would he be in church Sunday night? Would he be here Wednesday night? Then since you represent him, so should you. Because if you don't, you're telling the world, that's what Jesus would do. Now that's serious business right there, folks. That's serious business. Let me ask you a question. Would you feel comfortable telling me, let's just say that I was just flipping about things, I was careless about things and you knew it? Would you enjoy putting your name on me and realizing that everything I do will come back on you? Now that would probably help you, Brother Scotty, you know, to have my name instead of your own. I'm just kidding with you. What am I saying? Would you want the person who represents you to represent you right? That's a crazy question, isn't it? Well, that's what God's done with you if you're saved. You represent him. You represent him. And he would be here every service. You know in your heart that's right, don't you? So therefore, so should we. Let me give you a fifth reason. I'm hurrying. You realize I could get bogged down in this. Number five, another reason that you should do this. Now apply this, if this is you, your children need it. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Not the way he wants to go, but the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You realize that every time you miss church for a reason that's not legitimate. In other words, you're not working, you're just sitting at home, or whatever the case may be. If your children see you do that, you're training them. See, we all need to understand that we're training the next generation whether we realize it or not. You're training them. And if you put other things above God's house, listen to me, if you let something come above God's house and maybe you only come every other service, whatever the case may be, you can be here every time, but you're not going to be, whatever the case. Listen, if you neglect God's house a little, don't be surprised if they neglect it completely. Everybody hear what I just said? Because more than likely, they'll go further than you do. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your children or your grandchildren to be a Sunday morning Christian only? Is that what you want? Is it? Then how do you make sure that doesn't happen? Well, again, it's up to them. He's not going to force them to do something against their will, but you need to make sure that you're setting the right example in front of them, and you need to put the precedence up that this, when the doors of church are open and we are able, that's where we're going. Let me ask you a question. Do you think when you see God that you're going to be ashamed that you do that? I don't think so. By the way, you say, Jody, are you trying to fill this place? Yes. You saying, are you trying to force me to come? No. I'm trying to help you come because God wants to bless and use your life. That's number five. Number six. Another reason is because you influence someone else. Now, I'm not going to turn to it for time's sake, but you can write it down if you're taking notes. Psalm 78, 1 through 7. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. In that portion of Scripture, it talks about passing on to the next generation. I think we read that together this past Sunday morning on the danger of disobedience. But let me just simply say this. Your actions affect other people. Whether it's a spouse, whether it's a child, whether it's a friend, an acquaintance, a family member, whatever you do affects somebody else. Let me give you another reason quickly. I have learned that when somebody is not faithful to church, here's point number seven, I think it is, it affects other areas of life. It really does. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Flip over to 2 Timothy with me just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verses, I think it's 13 and 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. 2 Timothy 3, 13 and 14. The Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now here's what I'm talking about, where it affects other areas of life. Get this. Now listen to me closely. I have yet to meet a strong soul winner who's not faithful to church. I've yet to meet a strong Bible reader who's not faithful to church. You show me somebody who's not faithful to church, and I show you somebody whose other areas in their life is being affected at the same time. That's a fact. That's not a thought. That's a guaranteed fact. Somebody, see, a lot of times people don't do the basics. They don't read the Bible. And then they wonder, what in the world's that happening for? And then God gets blamed. I thought God loved me. But yet you come back and say, you're reading your Bible every day? Well, no. Excuse me. Duh. Honestly. You know church attendance is basic. It's basic. This is almost child stuff, really, when you think about it. We're teaching the children and cadets for Christ. You need to be faithful to church. You ought to be faithful to church every time the door's open. You ought to be here. Try to be here. Try to bring your parents. Get them here. Have them bring you, whatever the case may be. This is almost child stuff. And I'm challenging you. You need to be here every time the door's open, because if you do not, other areas will start being affected. Mark it down. Mark it down. Stay with it. Number eight. Maybe it's number nine. I don't know. I think I'm behind one. I've already kind of hit on this a little bit, but you expect it out of others. You expect it out of others. Flip over to Matthew chapter 7 with me. Matthew chapter 7 and look at verses 3 and 5. Matthew chapter 7 and look at verse number 3 and go through verse number 5. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, now this is Jesus speaking, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, one of the things that goes, now listen to me just a moment. One of the things that goes in a contemporary feel-good church is the Sunday night and Wednesday night services. You ever notice that? Now, somebody says this, who came up with the Sunday night service? Who came up with the Wednesday night service? Whose idea is that anyway? And I would respond to somebody like that to say this. Who cares? Is 4 hours a week too much to give to God? Amen. What I'm saying to you is this. Who cares how many services are going on? But Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival services, Sword of the Lord conference, whatever the mission conference, whatever's good. If you can be here, you ought to be here. Why? Because you expect it out of other people. Do you expect the deacons to be here? Do you? God doesn't expect them anymore and expects you to be here. Amen, folks. I'm telling you the truth. Now, are you right to expect them to be here? Yes. You expect Sunday school teachers to be here? Yes, it's a qualification. Do you expect the pastor to, you expect the pastor's wife to be here? Do you? You expect that? But yet, we don't expect it out of ourselves at many times. You mean he wasn't there? Where was he? And yet some people are sitting home eating potato chips tonight, And they'd be the first one to criticize me if I wasn't here preaching in the pulpit. Anybody out there with me tonight? Anybody there? Listen, you say, Jody, you scold me? No, I'm not. I'm encouraging you. You're doing the right. This is Wednesday night. God bless you for being here. Amen. You're doing the right thing. I'm encouraging you. Stay with it. Stay with it. Don't start dropping out. And a major reason there is because you expect it out of others. Here's another reason. For fellowship. Flip over to 1 John chapter 1 with me just a moment. 1 John chapter 1 with me just a moment. 1 John and look at chapter 1 verse number 3. 1 John 1 verse 3. The Bible says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. By the way, that's what a preacher does, what he's seen and heard. He declares unto you. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. Question, do you need fellowship with Jesus Christ? Sure you do. That's your daily walk. That's your personal walk with God. The church does not take the place of that. You understand that? That's your daily walk with Him. But on top of that, you also need Christian fellowship. You need to be with people of like faith. You need to be able to make friends with people who think like you think biblically. And the church is where you have that. And you youth, you young people, you teenagers, this is why the youth group is so important. Because there's so many teenagers. Teenagers naturally form cliques. They're natural at that. They're like a lot of adults. They naturally form cliques. And listen, the parents ought to help try to make sure that the clique they get involved in is the clique at church. The church clique. By the way, there are some cliques at church that your teens ought not to be involved in. I'm not saying just because it's here, it's right, but I'm saying you can normally find somebody here who can help your child or help you as an individual to grow closer to Jesus Christ and have the right kind of fellowship. You need to come to church for that fellowship. Another reason, by the way, this is not homiletically correct tonight. You're not supposed to have 15 points under a point or so. But I'm just trying to give you a lot of things here. Another reason is because it is a good thing. Would you agree? Be careful. Would you agree that going to church is good? Have you say yes? Would you raise your hand? Going to church is a good thing. All right? Flip over to James. Chapter number 4, James chapter 4. You're close to it right there in the book of 1 John. Just flip back some pages and look at James chapter 4 and look at verse 17. James 4, 17. Now you've already told me that you believe going to church is a good thing. James 4, 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. Why is nobody saying it? Sin. He said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, that's sin. Now that tells me this. You know coming to church is a good thing. And again, I'm emphasizing, it doesn't have to be this church. Now, if you're a member here, I hope it is. But if you're visiting, I'm not trying to give you the impression, you need to come here. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. You need to come here if God leads you here. There's a big difference. But I'm saying this, wherever God leads you, whether it's here or some other Bible-believing church, you need to understand that going to church is a good thing. And since you know that, if you let anything come in that you can help, now again, I'm not talking about work, I'm not talking about sickness, I'm not talking about that, folks, please. You know we're not jerks about this kind of stuff. I'm just talking about somebody, I'm not going, I don't feel like it, I don't. What good's it do anyway? What good's going to that church doing me? It's doing a lot more than you think. Amen. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you're going to get the Word of God here. You know that now, don't you? I hope. What I'm saying to you, it's a good thing. And since it's good, if you don't do it, it's sin. Let me give you another one. We're just about through. Somebody said, thank God. Let's get out of here, you know. Let me give you another one. This might be the last one I give you. And this kind of goes hand in hand with the first one. God commands it. But this last one, it's to put God first. To put Him first. Flip with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse number 18. Colossians 1:18. The Word of God says here in Colossians 1:18, and he, now the he in context is talking about Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means that in all things he might be put first. The Word of God tells us, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but you can write it down, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. That's another portion that talks about putting God first. Now, let me ask you a question. Are there times when you do not feel like coming to church? Sure. Now, I'm not talking about sickness. I'm just talking about you just don't feel like it. You don't want to do it, in other words. You ever had a time when you just did not want to come to church or want to go, whatever the case may be? At that time, you have a decision to make. Will I put myself first or God? Are you following me? Learn to put God first. Put him above yourself. Put him above your family. Put him above everything. Don't be guilty of using what comes from God to put above God. Let me say that again. Don't be guilty of putting what comes from God above God. For instance, there are people around America who, as soon as they have a baby, they drop out of church. It happens all the time. There are people that have sports ability, and yet they have a ball game the same time church is going on, and yet at that time they don't even think twice, I'm going to the ball game. Wait a minute. Who gave you the ability to play sports? Who gave you the ability to have a mind so you can do that? Somebody says, well, I'm not going to church because they asked for money. Have you heard me ask for money? I don't ask for money. God demands it. The tithe and your offerings. If somebody says, that's all they do out there is take an offering. Excuse me. You'll hear about this later. I'm talking about when we talk about finances. But where'd your money come from, sir? Where'd your money come from, ma'am? I earned it. Really? Who gave you the ability to earn it? Somebody says, I work outside all day long. Well, who made it to where your blood's not clotting so you don't have a heart attack? What am I saying? I'm saying everything we have comes from God. And there's too many people who take what God gave them and try to use it as an excuse and say, I'm not going to God's house because of this. And it's what God gave them in the first place. Silly, isn't it? Silly. Now, we're right in the middle of this. Now, I know what this is going to do. You're not going to be back Wednesday night, are you? Next Wednesday. But listen, if anybody's taking this wrong, I'm sorry. God knows my heart. I am not jumping on anybody. I'm serious. How can I jump on you anyway? You're here. I mean, you see what I'm saying? I'm trying to use this as an encouraging message to tell you that you're here Wednesday night. You're not wasting time. You're obeying God's command. Keep doing it. You need what you hear. Keep coming. If this is where God wants you. And the reason we want to do this is because this is what is pleasing to Almighty God. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake, but in Psalms 26:8 it says this, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Now, I want to say this. I want this church to be a place where the honor of God is dwelling. I really do. And I'll be honest with you, I think we have it. I really think we've got it. Is the devil going to fight? What do you think? Sure he is. Is he going to try to stick his head into this thing? Sure he is. I pray God give you wisdom to see that when he tries and to follow the leadership of your pastor at times, because I know what's going to happen. And you know that too, right? You know that, don't you? But I'm challenging you tonight with this. We're building a family of faith from the ground up. We've looked at the foundation. We're currently in the formation. That's the different relationships, like the walls, and it pictures the walls and the windows and the doors and all this kind of stuff. the relationship with the husband and wife. We've already dealt with it. If you haven't heard it and you want to get a copy of it, just let us know. We're currently dealing with the parent-child relationship. We've been dealing with it. We're going to go back to it on Sunday, Lord willing. But tonight and next Wednesday night, we're dealing with the relationship of your family and the local church. And the first major thing we've looked at is you as a family should be attending it. Whether it's this one or wherever the Lord's sending you, that's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, truthful church. One that's going to give you the truth. Is it because we're perfect? No. But we are the plan of God. This is God's idea. And I am so humbled, and I want you to know this, I am so humbled to be the pastor of this place. God is working me over. He really is. He has humbled me. And he's teaching me some great things. But I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. Don't say amen, but I'm far from it. And I want you to know something. I love you. I care about you. And I give you my word that when you come here, I'm not going to give you my thoughts. I'm going to give you whatever God says. And that's the kind of church you need to be in. Whether it's here, whether it's elsewhere, make sure they're going to give you the Bible and give it to you straight. Amen. Attend the local church as a family. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at support it. And number three, help it. And may the Lord use it in a special way. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray that you'll help us tonight to understand the spirit in which this is given. And Lord, I thank you for this local church here. What a great place it is. And Lord, I'm humbled to be the pastor. I really am. I give you all the glory and praise. Thank you for every one of these dear people who are here tonight. Help them to see that this message is an encouragement to them to keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Keep putting God's house first. Put him first, put him first, put him first. And Lord, all of us will be glad we did when we see you face to face. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed just for a moment. I just want to make a couple statements here.